Welcome to the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. Now, here's your hosts, B. Cox and the crew.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. It's a perspective of the classics from a fresh point of view. We appreciate you for taking your time and lending your ears to our perspective. You could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with us, so we thank you. With you today is yours truly, B. Cox, and we want to take time to thank all the fans out there, stateside and worldwide, for continuing to support the show. As you know, we're in season 6, and we're going to keep rolling right along, covering albums from 1994, 1999, and 2004. Thank you all for continuing to support us, of course, visiting us on our website and on social media as well. Remember, you can get to us, vaultclassicpod.com. That's the website, vaultclassicpod.com. Go to check out all the past interviews, our highlighted episodes, our guest page to find out who's featured on our podcast. And as well, go to the store. We're coming up on the end of winter. Make sure you grab those hoodies and those long sleeve tees. And before you know it, we're going to be in short sleeve tees when the weather starts warming up. And then we really get to the essence of looking into throwback hip hop and those classic jams that we love to reminisce during summertime and, of course, during the spring as well. So make sure y'all go on to vaultclassicpod.com. Check it out. Get to all of our social media pages from there. Give us a follow. And make sure you're checking in and drop in with us to see how we're doing periodically. Got a great lineup for the rest of this season 6, and we can't wait to get in with it. Gonna have some very special guests coming along later on this year. So make sure you're at vaultclassicpod.com and on all the social media channels and our YouTube page to make sure you're staying tapped in. As we always like to say here on The Vault, our motto is hashtag open the vault, hashtag nothing but the classics, or MBTC. And today, we're going to go back 30 years ago to the fourth studio album of none other than hip-hop duo Gangstar, Hard to Earn. Released on March 8th, 1994 on Chrysalis and EMI Records. Recorded between 1992 and 1993 at D&D Studios, the legendary D&D Studios in New York City, with a runtime of 58 minutes and 57 seconds. DJ Premier and Guru as the co-producer. The singles from Hard to Earn, Dwick, which was actually a single with hip-hop duo Nice and Smooth, was released December 29th, 1992. And there's a story behind that in regards to this single originally supposed to have been on Dilly Operation, which was the third album, but was left off of the album during that time and then was put onto this album sort of as a tasty appetizer since it was such a big hit with the fans. But that was the first single. The second one, really the first true single from Hard to Earn, was Mass Appeal, released February 8th, 1994. Code of the Streets in May 17th, 1994. And Suckers Need Bodyguards, released in October of 1994. Some of the guest appearances on this, a lot from the Gangstar Foundation, who we'll get to in a little bit. J. Ruta Damaja, Lil Dap from Group Home. Also, you have voicemails that feature messages from Nas, AG from Digging in the Crates, Master Ace, MC8, DJ Scratch, Mr. C, amongst other. And also you have appearances by Malachi the Nutcracker, the other half of Group Home, as part of the Gangstar Foundation, and also Big Shug on this album. So going into Hard to Earn, a little bit of background into this album. Now, this followed up, as I said, their critically acclaimed third album, Dilly Operation, who many people will say is their favorite, even if they don't think it's the best Gangstar album. They took a hiatus, the group did. Guru, who was looking to pursue his own projects, wanted to do some things on the side as a solo artist, but also he wanted to make sure that he protected and insulated the Gangstar brand that he and Premier worked to build together and not dilute it. And with that, he recorded and released his first album of the Jazzmatazz series, which would follow a couple other volumes of the Jazzmatazz series in the next few years. Premier, in between the time of Dilly Operation and the release of Hard to Earn, became one of the most sought-after producers for hire in the game. And during that time, he collaborated with some of the best rappers in the game and in New York, namely KRS-One, an upcoming and soon-to-be-released new Notorious B.I.G., an upcoming and soon-to-be-released Nas, and also J. Ruta Damaja, who we would later collaborate on the latter's debut album, which was released later in 1994. And under most circumstances, that would be cause for celebration. But when the duo reunited for their fourth album to record, they both felt as though they had something to prove, even after two straight hits with Step in the Arena and Dilly Operation. Guru wanted to prove that he was as versatile, yet a skilled rapper in the game, while still staying true to who Gangstar was. And Primo was really out to prove naysayers wrong, certain naysayers in some circles, When Aftermath of Daily Operation thought that the group could only rely on jazz samples for their success, and that would truly only define their sound. And reading this week in research for this album, there was an interview that DJ Premier gave to in regards to what that meant to him as far as this album and him wanting to prove something. And that leads to this interview that was in Billboard magazine during the 25th anniversary of Hard to Earn, where Primo wanted to talk about what he needed to prove. And he said that in this interview with Billboard, the significance of Hard to Earn in their catalog was the fact that he had a chip on his shoulder during that album. And he wanted to show the people, the critics, that he could do any sound and still make it dope, not just jazz. And he said he liked showing the versatility, everything for the influences that he had with Prince, Bootsy Collins, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Parliament all had albums that sounded different. He wanted to show as a hip-hop producer that he could do any of those things because he said he was raised on so much music besides just rap and hip-hop. He said he was a big rock and roll head. He loved country music, yodeling music, he said, but he wanted to make sure that his music at its core stayed black and funky like he was, and he said he didn't want to run away from that. So the funk for him was always being him, and he wanted to show that versatility on this album. So Premier, already being considered one of the best producers in the game and one of the most sought-after producers in the game in 1994, came into Hard to Earn with a chip on his shoulder to prove certain naysayers wrong that he wasn't just a digging-in-the-crates jazz sampling producer, that he could take any sound and make it sound dope no matter what he was sampling to do his thing. Now, this formed the basis in which Hard to Earn was recorded and produced. There was growth on the crew front as well. 1994 is really the genesis where we see the Gangstar Foundation, the collective that include many, including J.Rue the Damager, Freddie Fox, a.k.a. Bumpy Knuckles, Group Home, M.O.P., Afu Ra, and Big Sugar, amongst others. That's when that group really started to emerge, and you would see projects from them over the next several years. That set the wheels in motion for many collaborations over the next few years, most notably Primo's collaborations with J.Rue the Damager in 1994 with The Sun Rises in the East and Group Home's Living Proof in 1995, and much of the foundation was featured on Gangstar's fifth album, 1998's Moment of Truth. But here's the thing about 1994. It was also a pivotal time in the hip-hop world. 1994 could be interpreted as a time where the West Coast was still in the swing of dominance, but the East Coast was beginning to reestablish itself as a power center, with established and new acts dropping classic and essential projects. Also during this time, the South rose as a contender on the scene, with booming scenes in cities like Atlanta, Houston, New Orleans, and Memphis. Add on to that scene in the Midwest, that would be Players, and the entire map was headed into what I called the hip-hop renaissance, or the second golden age of hip-hop. It was incredibly appropriate for Gangstar to be releasing their most important and most focused work during that time. And with that said, now we're going to go ahead and get into it.
First thoughts and reflections.
My reflection during this time, that 1994 was the beginning of my headphones on period. This was the time period that I truly took control of what I would listen to and when I would listen to it. This was really the first Gangstar album that I actually heard when it came out and dropped during that year. The thing that caught me about it though when I listened to it was Off the Break. Mass Appeal was the song that hit the radios and caught my ear instantly. Hit the radios where I was in the DMV, and it was a popular choice for artists to freestyle on to from 95.5 or 93.9, or even Rap Attack when it came on in Baltimore, which we did a lot listening to it on the weekends during that time period. Now, this was also the year when I was heavy into Rap City, and the videos for that, Mass Appeal, Dwick, and Code of the Streets had me hooked, and it was something about that time period and that feel of the music from each region, but specifically from New York, that had me in the chokehold. So music like that, what I heard from Hard to Earn, was part of what romanticized that New York hip-hop sound from that early and mid-90s. It was also the inspiration for me to want to rhyme myself, as I said many different times. So if nothing else, what Hard to Earn was for me was responsible for making me want to know more about the culture and being immersed in making the music and what it could bring to communities. So Guru and Premier really represented to me what you needed to do to make it without selling out, right? That was the basis of what they were as a group. They always carried the torch for the underground and hardcore hip-hop. And that was important, not just in my journey as a hip-hop fan, a future hip-hop artist and producer, and also a historian and lover of music, as their influences range from everything from soul, funk, rock, jazz, and all of the above. And furthermore, when you see the importance of what Gangstar had in New York hip-hop from a duo that wasn't even based in New York in its origin, as we said many different times, and as we all know, Guru was originally from Boston, Massachusetts, And DJ Premier was born and raised in Houston, Texas. So you had these two guys who came to define what the New York hip hop sound and that underground sound and boom bap sound of New York was in the early to mid and eventually into the late 90s that came to define this region that weren't even from there, but they became adopted members of New York hip hop. Guru definitely planted his roots in Brooklyn. Premier planted his roots in New York and in Brooklyn. They fully adapted, embraced, and got that sound. And believe it or not, Gangstar was very pivotal and very critical to the East Coast, as I said earlier, becoming a power center once again in hip-hop. Because they were successful in between that time. When it came to success as far as where it was on the West Coast with Death Row, with Snoop, with Dr. Dre, with artists like MC8 and DJ Quick, with the Bay Area, with Too Short and E-40, with Spice One, with Richie Rich. These guys, they were running things over there on the West Coast. And the East Coast reestablished itself with the emergence of these established acts like Gangstar, like KRS-One, also with new acts like Biggie and Nas, Jay with the Damager coming up, that this made New York a viable player once again. And so with that happening, you can't help but to grab a hold of the music once again when you see that people are starting to emerge and the game was becoming much more well-balanced again. Really, what was great for me is the fact that the beats were so banging. And Premier's production on this was absolutely crazy. As we said, he wanted to move away from the jazz samples and he wanted to get into so many different other influences other than jazz to show that he can get down on any type of track. The drums were just so funky. They were banging. The bass lines were cool. The filtering as far as the sound filters, how they made some of these samples sound and some of the things that he took from these samples. I mean, the fact that he took like, you know, missile whistles and chimes and, you know, these different things he did with guitar riffs and the inventive way as far as what he sampled. We all know the Primo style. To me, I think that was defined a lot much more on Hard to Earn than any other album that Gangstar did. Yeah, even more so than Daily Operation, in my opinion. And then Guru was always a skilled MC. And as I always said before, you know, Guru was someone that, when it came to intricate rhyme schemes, was never really the person that would be the lyrical gymnastics that people did. But what Guru got you with was, one, his voice, and he mentions that on one of the tracks here itself. But then he also got you with the jewels of wisdom that he would drop and how he would drop them. And it was really a no-nonsense type of style, very understated in its delivery, but definitely impactful upon its approach. And they mastered that on Hard to Earn. And that's what helped make me fall in love with this album. And also got me into the point of realizing and understanding the importance of Gangstar themselves.
Highlights and lowlights.
So my highlights on Hard to Earn, and there are plenty of them here, but I'll just point out just a few of them just to start. We talk about just with the singles, just to start first of all. Dwick was, man, a track that I loved, right? The fact that you had this collaboration between Nice and Smooth with Guru on there with this beat that was so infectious. And you play that beat now 30 years later and you're going to get a reaction out of a certain type of crowd because that beat is so recognizable upon the ear, right? That Gangstar with the short shot and, you know, that first verse that you get on there as well. I mean, you can't help but to feel that track. And it was sitting out there more than a year before it got put on an album. As we stated, this was a track that was supposed to be on Daily Operation and never made it on there. Some things between them and the label, as Premier says, and eventually they got slapped onto Hard to Earn. And to me, I think it makes this album such a stronger album with it on it. And then you get into Mass Appeal. I mean, what's not to like about Mass Appeal, the song? That beat that is so very simple, yet you can't deny it when you hear it. I dare you to listen to that joint and not bob your head. And some of the best work on here that Guru did as well, man. Code of the Streets is a hard track, bro. It is a perfectly placed as being the third track right after A Long Way to Go. And I love that beat. And Guru is, of course, at his best doing what he does, talking about mentality of people living underneath poverty and talking about the process that takes so many men. Really good time to get to themselves to where they take the chances to get them a little bit of money and make a living as far as them through a life of crime. I mean, this is what we're talking about, 1994 New York. And this is something during these times, people were dealing with some hard economic times during this period. And if you were from certain communities, it was a reality that a lot of people had to face. And you can always count on Gangstar and especially Guru to talk about that. Lots of social commentary in his raps. One of the most underrated tracks on here for me is Suckers Need Bodyguards. And I actually think, man, in here, when it comes to rhyming, Guru probably did some of his best rhyming on his first verse here on Suckers Need Bodyguard. Just looking at the chorus itself, when it says, fake MCs, they always act hard, but won't walk the streets without their bodyguard. And in this song, Guru talks a lot about how the fact there is a lot of rappers out there who tended to, you know, be out there and be want to act like, you know, they're on the streets, they're untouchable in the streets, nobody can mess with them. But when they go out in the streets, knowing that they're high profile targets, that they got record deals, they may have money, people may be trying to get at them. So because in reality, they're not what they are pretending themselves to be on the rap records, they're on the streets wanting for security, right? And so Guru was like, nah, man, y'all some phony gangsters. Like, no way in the world y'all are acting like y'all are hard, and we see right through y'all because you want secure security every time you walking out there in the hood. So Guru's been a rapper that's never been afraid to call people out. So I do give him kudos on that, because that was definitely a thing back during that period, and actually still is right now. And I'm not blaming dudes for having bodyguards, honestly, because stuff crazy out here. You know what I mean? It was a different time back then. You were supposed to consider to be your rap on record and also live that rap out there in the streets as well. But getting into the deep album cuts in regards to some of the highlights on Hard to Earn, Love a Long Way to Go to open up the album. That's a great, great way to open the album, and Guru getting things started off like off the break. I actually love Speak Your Clout. And my first time that I heard J.Ru the Damager was actually, I believe, on this album. And I was trying my damnedest to find anything I could about this guy in the hip hop publications, anywhere I could go to try to find about this dude that rapped on his Gangstar album. And little did I know that there was an album coming out later on that year that would, when we review that album later on this year, you'll see exactly what it is and how I felt about it. And how much ended up changing my life is the way how I listen to hip hop. And especially MCs like J.Ru were MCs that I patted myself around early when I first started rapping back in the day. But you get Lil Dap there as well from Group Home. Shout out to my boy Jay, J.O. The fact that he always talks about Group Home and he feels as though that was the biggest waste of Premier Beats ever. Though a lot of people mess with Group Home though. And the Living Proof album, they do like it. I'm actually not that big of a critic of it as well, although I do understand what Jay is saying. But Lil Dap did his thing on this as well. And Guru definitely did his thing on Speak Your Clout. One of the most underrated tracks on here for me personally. Another highlight for me is, of course, FALA, aka Fuck Around, Lay Around, with Big Shug from the Gangstar Foundation. Love the message and Tons of Guns that's in there, and having that opening quote about Malcolm X that still rings true to this day. And I like how the fact it's not really pro guns or anti guns, but it talks about really, hey, this is what happens when you proliferate and have guns on the street. You know what I mean? This is the type of environment that presents itself, telling it pretty much for whatever it is. I do like mostly the voice, because this is Guru speaking his truth and speaking to the one thing that I think we all know about Guru is the fact that his voice is his instrument, right? The tone that he speaks with, the cadence, everything is so distinctive about Guru, and it makes him really, as we said, one of the most memorable and respected voices in hip hop. And Primo's production matches Guru's voice perfectly. Guru gives one of his best performances here as well, especially when he talks about up steps one and he gets done, then up steps another, he gets smothered. That's word to my mother, or should I say my mom's, I drop bombs, scorching niggas like napalm. Like, those are lines like that that only Guru can deliver with such a distinctness and deftness that makes you respect him as an MC and definitely a purveyor of his craft. I definitely miss Guru a lot, man. Rest in peace to Guru, by the way, if I hadn't said it before this episode. But really great highlights there. Other tracks on here I'm cool with as well. I'm not really a huge fan of maybe one track on here. And the one track that I'm not really a huge fan of will be Now Your Mind. And I know that a lot of people like Now Your Mind, but I'm not, that track did not strike me to the heart like some of these other tracks that I mentioned here as well. But Brainstorm is another highlight. But other than that, the rest of the album, I think, is very well put together. I think it's a night touch with having the skits in there from Words from the Nutcracker. And then also with I Chill, when you hear from all these different rappers like Nas, AG, Master Ace, Mr. C, DJ Scratch, MC8 from the West Coast, putting his flavor on there. A really well put together album. Great production on here. That said, with Premier, looking up like the samples from this album is just really, it's crazy looking at what Premier pulled from to be able to get for production on this. Guru masterfully does his thing as well, introducing the Gangstar Foundation, which was set in motion so much of the collaborations that would happen over the next few years, and was really important, I would think, to this direction of hip-hop tip. And especially with the Gangstar story, with them doing Hard to Earn and then taking that four-year hiatus, coming back with Moment of Truth afterwards, which to me is another standout in their catalog.
notable quotables.
So my notable quotable, I mentioned it before, it actually comes from Suckers Need Bodyguards. And I just love this guru verse, how he opens it up after that chorus comes in, that first verse. MCs, I lay out like stiffs in the morgue. Praise the Lord when you're in awe, when I'm gripping the mic cord. Rhymes I rip with swift execution. One verse to coerce a girl to prostitution. The guru is now your brother that you fearing. Beware when I'm making hits with premiering. Rolling to a spot near you. Lyrics tear through. Chrome to your dome, you better watch your rear view. Niggas been held back too long, we coming up. In the streets, we roll alone, so watch me running up. I'm summing up a mad posse of warriors. Night Crusaders able to break down barriers. And bringing faces of death, putting MCs to rest until there's no fake chumps left. Run step. Yeah, bounce, nigga, bounce. My rhyme's a cargo when yours is just a quarter ounce. All the other verses in here, Guru has some great things. And this may not even necessarily be the best quotable throughout the album. But the fact that he starts it off says that he lays out MC stiff in the morgue. Praise the Lord when you're in awe when I'm gripping the mic cord. Rhymes I rip up with swift execution. One verse to coerce a girl to prostitution. That's wild, man. That's wild. Only Guru can deliver a line like that and make it hit like the way that it does. But that's my quotable. Also love, you know, Mass Appeal as well. Lots of other quotables are in here, but that's the one that I wanted to highlight. Suckers Need Bodyguards.
Final verdict.
So my final verdict of Hard to Earn, whether it's a classic, essential album, dope album, good, just okay, or something other than that. In my opinion, this is a classic. And it's one of the at least the two albums that I have as Gangstar's classics, with Hard to Earn and the other being Moment of Truth, and with Daily Operation and Step Into the Arena being essential albums. Hard to Earn is a big part of the story of hip-hop in 1994. It's also a huge part of the story of Gangstar as a group. To me, this is really where they defined the group as what they were, as the hardcore hip-hop, underground, always keep it real, true to New York and true to the streets duo that so many people look to as a beacon of hope. In a world of hip-hop that really was full of a lot of folks that were faking the funk. And Hard to Earn was that album to me that helped to define really what Guru and Premier were as a duo, is that they were always looking to elevate as a duo. They challenged each other, and when it came to them making the music, this was an album that they both, Guru as an MC, Premier as a producer, that they wanted to step outside of the box of where people wanted to place each of them in, and then the group together as a collective in, to say, nah, man, we can get busy on a number of different fronts. And that sound from this album, I think, contributed very heavily to what we heard from New York over the next year and a half, I would even say. Because when you hear the albums for the rest of that year, at least three of them that were critical albums, specifically for New York hip-hop by itself, The Sun Rises in the East, Ready to Die, and Illmatic, Premier has a direct hand in all three of those. So the influence of this group and the influence of what Premier and Guru did to New York hip-hop is present in each one of those albums. Even if it's a very small part in those albums, at least in the case of Illmatic and also with Ready to Die, it was something that definitely proved to be crucial in this time where New York hip-hop was starting to reestablish itself as a power center in hip-hop. And for that, for the classic singles, for the fact that there's not really a drop-off for this album, and it also inspired a lot of work that came afterwards, it's a classic album. To me, I place this either one or two in this their catalog, with Moment of Truth and Hard to Earn. It really kind of depends on the day and the year, but that to me is really what holds true to in regards to Gangstar and their catalog, this being either one or two. So Gangstar, Moment of Truth, make sure you're going out there to check it out. 30 years old this week. Hit us up on social media. What do you remember about Hard to Earn? Where do you place it in Gangstar's catalog? And what importance do you believe it has as far as what it placed in placing New York back as a power center in the mid-90s, and specifically in that space in 1994? Hit us up on social media. Let's talk about it and continue the conversation. And that is going to wrap up yet another edition of The Vault. Please make sure you are visiting us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com. There you can learn more about the show, check out our past episodes, join our mailing list, leave a review, or if so inclined, you can leave us a voice note. Click the blue microphone in the bottom right-hand corner to leave us a voice note to let us know what you think about the show, or to just show us some love. To support the show, click the coffee cup shaded in yellow in the bottom left-hand corner to access our Buy Me a Coffee page. On Buy Me a Coffee, you can give a small monetary donation to support the show to ensure that we can keep the vault open for many years to come. You can also visit us on social media at Vault Classic Pod on IG, Twitter, and on TikTok. Also hit us on YouTube and our Facebook page. Like and follow us on social media, subscribe to the pod and the YouTube channel. We do it here all for you. We appreciate the support, and if you have a friend, tell a friend, and make sure that that friend tells a friend. Always remember to keep your headphones on and your music loud, but not too loud. And as we close, we'd like to remind everyone to dream big, because dreams are the basis for creation. Always create, motivate, and elevate, because you were never destined or created to stay stationary or ordinary in this life. And on that note, we say peace.
Thank you for listening and coming into The Vault. Please subscribe and visit us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com.